Welcome to Warn Radio. Warn Radio. With your hosts, the Watchman Dana Smith and Tower.
Thanks for listening.
Greetings and welcome to Warn Radio. I am Tower, and we are glad you joined us. Please send all your prayer requests, correspondence, and inquiries for the WIBR Warn Radio Network to us through our contact page on warn-usa.com. You can find the WIBR Warn Radio Network on the following sites: Sayscape, Telegram, USA.life, MeWe, Parler, CloudHub, Tumblr, LinkedIn, Linktree, Pure Social, and Gab Social. You can listen to our shows through our apps at warn-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com. We're also on the following streamers: Blueberry, iHeartRadio, iTunes Player, Apple Podcasts, Spreaker, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play Music, Warn Radio Visions on Blog Talk Radio, Podcast Addict, CastBox, Google Podcast, Anchor, Deezer, and Podchaser. Those are the carriers that you can find us on. Be sure to go to Dana Glenn Smith, and you can read this post of the Persecuted Gospel and Christian Leadership. The time when anointed leaders of the gospel are imprisoned or martyred for Christ, for obedience to the faith among all nations, for his name, among whom are ye the called of Jesus Christ. That's Paul in Romans chapter 1. On warn-usa.com, you can find our Anti-Christian Persecution Classic Warn Radio Series. Anti-Christian persecution is going on around the world. Thus, it is hard to keep ongoing persecution quiet. This show is a featured classic Warn Radio series. We bring it to you as we see all over the world hostile regimes persecuting Christians, closing churches, and imprisoning or killing Christian leaders. We know about it. Be sure that the internet and the ability to get the news around the world is helping oppressed people, especially Christians who are at the hand of hostile governments and radical. Also on Dana Glenn Smith, don't miss the latest article by The Watchman, Destiny's Prophetic Progress. Destiny's Prophetic Progress in America is an ongoing battle against the monster which pursues its goal of devouring every vestige of this nation. For years, this nation has been on a cataclysmic course of a scale that would make this nation shudder. So, and now I welcome in the Watchman.
You're listening to Warn Radio on the WIBR Warn Radio Network. Don't forget to visit our websites at warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. And also follow us on Twitter, find us on Instagram, and join us on LinkedIn.
Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
Well, doing good. Just got done with a major snowstorm, and now we got another one. The worst of it's supposed to be down in the southeast corner of the state.
And in Colorado. And guess what? They say it's a historic storm.
Well, whenever you get in, you know, storms that are so bad, your records, I mean, you can't find any that are any worse. Then that's a that's a Lord event, a God event type thing. And so nobody knows exactly how much, but it's a pile of snow. Now, it seems to me they've had snow, if I remember, when was it? Back in the 40s or the 30s? And it was piled up to the top of the roofs. Remember that?
Yeah.
So I don't know about this historic event stuff, but I know that was an event that happened in Wyoming. So.
Yeah, my dad used to talk about that.
Yeah, so I would call that a lot of snow.
Yep.
And we're not ready to have, you know, snow over the top of our roofs right now. So we'll just be satisfied with this meager little snowstorm that we got coming.
Meager?
Meager, yeah. That's faith. It's going to be meager. So at any rate, we got to get going here.
Okay. Well, tonight we're on part 84 of Isaiah's prophetic book.
Can you believe it?
No. Wow. We've been doing it for a year and a half or two.
Yeah, we have. It's been a good book. And we are officially, technically, halfway through the book of Isaiah.
Yeah, that's exciting, huh?
Yeah. And so I'm going to go ahead and do this.
Okay, I'll see you on the other side.
Okay. Now, we've been talking about Isaiah, you know, chapter 33. And, of course, this is a prophetic look, a prophet's look at how he said it and what he saw specifically regarding this event. And it's very prophetic, it really details how the Assyrians came in thinking that, you know, they'd taken all their spoil with them. They had, you know, as they went to Jerusalem, and of course we covered last week how Sennacherib had in fact went back on his word, and so what would happen was the judgment would fall, and in the end the Jews would be like beetles overrunning the place, carrying off what they please, because there would be a lot of stuff there that the Assyrians, they're all dead, they ain't going to do nothing. So the Assyrians essentially got defeated and destroyed, and all their spoil was left at the gates of Jerusalem. And so I would say that that's a good way to stop the enemy. Now, in Isaiah 33:5, we go forward, and the first word on that is, "The Lord is exalted, for he dwells on high. He has filled Zion with judgment and righteousness." Now, you see, the thing of it is that the Lord God here, and we've been really centering in on this point, because Hezekiah now, in chapter 33, it specifically says that it was in the 14th year of Hezekiah. So, before Hezekiah's reign, though, they had a wicked king. And Hezekiah was a good king, although Israel wasn't out of the woods. They weren't completely where they needed to be. So, you know, in this, they had cried out to the Lord. And they had done a few things wrong within this whole fiasco, because they had actually sought help from Egypt, who wasn't able to help them. And so in this, you see divine deliverance. You see the judgment of the Lord. You see also his warning them through this. And although, you know, he doesn't allow Jerusalem to be taken or the Judah be overthrown, God does allow that the Assyrians can go all the way through, pillage, and do a lot of damage. And for Hezekiah and the children of Israel, I mean Judah rather, they were indeed going to go through some tough times because of the harvest and everything else that had happened when you have a huge army invading and through your land, trampling through your crops, pillaging the cities. But see, when the judgment does come, and this is where judgment is both redemptive, but it's also judgment. It is a judgment that God uses to overthrow the wicked, to overthrow those that are doing things they shouldn't. Now, God has set a time in the end of days for this to happen. And, you know, because you do hear people say, well, why does God allow all this? Well, he allows it because there's God's grace. He has pulled away, and his son, through the redemption on the cross, has given us a time of grace in here. But that doesn't mean God does not move, and it doesn't mean that God is pleased with everything, because he has appointed a time where he will judge the nations in totality. And when he does so, he will be in the wrath of God. And then there is a judgment of nations as well, specifically. Within all this, in this portion, we see where God is, where the Lord is exalted in righteousness. He had filled Zion with judgment and righteousness simply because Zion looked to be destroyed. And, you know, the God of Israel was also mocked by, you know, those messengers who had been sent by Sennacherib to demean, you know, all of them, to challenge them, to kind of mock them, to get them to surrender. And the chief speaker was Rabshakeh at the time. But see, the thing of it is that they weren't able to. They had come right to the gates of Zion, to Jerusalem. They knew that they were going to destroy Judah. They were going to pillage it. But you see, Hezekiah had already offered him a big amount of money. He had offered him funds, and because Sennacherib had answered him and said, well, you give us this much. And so there was a toll that Hezekiah was willing to pay. He didn't want to just fight. He wanted to get through this and appease the king, Sennacherib, and send him back on his way. But see, Sennacherib would have nothing on it. He figured that he could destroy Judah and also take the money, so he'd have both Judah and the money. And so that is greed. It's also going back on the word. And of course, here Hezekiah is seen as righteous, and the children of Israel, because of the way that it was handled by them. However, this is also a warning to them, you know, telling them that their only hope is to cling to the Lord, to be found in him. Now, see, there's going to be another time that they're going to be threatened by a major kingdom, and that will be Babylon, and they will indeed sack the temple. They will kill the priests, the prophets. They will destroy the princely family, practically. And you know, the whole thing, you know, 70 years in captivity. Because by the time you get to that point, Jeremiah has been warning Judah for a long time, and they would not repent. They would not turn away from their sins. And as a result of that, when Babylon moved upon Judah, that was it. You could say Katie barred the door. And so the thing here, though, is because Hezekiah did seek the Lord, the prophet Isaiah was in the midst of this prophesying, that we see that because of the deliverance of God and his mighty power against the enemy, it caused the people to rejoice and have reverence for the Lord. And so his name is exalted within the gates of Israel, and you could say in Zion there was praise for the Lord God. And it goes on to say, and wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times, and strength of salvation, and the fear of the Lord is his treasure. Now, you see, the thing of it is that now that the enemy is gone, now Hezekiah's policy, he is a righteous king. And I've said this a lot during this, and it's really apropos to America today. And you can find this around the world, literally. And I can name kingdoms for you. And whenever you look at a kingdom or a nation, the leaders of that kingdom and nation determine which way the people will go almost all the time. And so, you know, all of a sudden in China, where they allowed the Christian church, now they don't. And Kim, whatever his name is over in China, Premier. I can't remember his name now, but at any rate, Z, that's right. X-I, it's called Z, yeah. And then, of course, there is North Korea, where you got Kim Jong-un, who comes against, you know, all the Christians, puts them in there. You can get killed over there. And you can go right into India, where they've suddenly decided, the leadership, that they're going to have a nationalist Hinduism, and they're going to try to cast out all the Christians and Muslims by the end of this year. And this goes throughout the nations of men, and you can look and see by the leaders whether there's stability or whatever's going on. But almost without question, within the Gentile nations, you find no righteousness per se that would please the Lord God. They're going on their own. And they're going to continue to go on their own until the final days when God gathers them together for judgment. Now see, in this case, we find Hezekiah coming up there, and he is one that leads them. And so in verse 6, you know, it talks about that. But I'll give you a closer example. You know, you look at the time that Trump was in. Now, yeah, a lot of the fake media and the others picked on him, you know, caused him, and Pelosi and the Democrats wouldn't leave him alone, just totally finding fault all the time, and it was just a terrible time for that. But yet, as far as prosperity and a lot of other things, it was a good time. But then you get into Biden now, and you have the borders that are open. You have the Second Amendment the Democrats are targeting. You know, you have H.R. 1, which is basically going to take even more rights away and guarantee the Democrats to win the elections all the time because they're going to change the law. So you see a lot of things just by that one change right there between Trump and Biden, and essentially you have Pelosi and the Democrats who are running the place along with Kamala Harris. So this is really what you see, and you could call this the wicked generation. Even though Nancy Pelosi says we're doing the work of the Lord, well, that's exactly what Hitler said too, because he was killing the Jews. He says, I'm doing the Lord's work here. Well, I'm afraid not. Nancy and all of her minions are not doing the work of the Lord. Matter of fact, the things that are doing, especially with abortion, is against the Lord. So you can say that America right now is turning to away from the blessing of the Lord into judgment. And so this is what happens when we talk about the nations of men. And when you're dealing in the prophets just did not deal with Israel. They just didn't deal with after Israel, which was after King Solomon. It divided into two houses. The 10 tribes went north, the northern tribes, and then you had Judah. And they were in Jerusalem and surrounding area, but at any rate, they would deal with those issues with both houses. But the bottom line of it is there's a lot of prophecies concerning the nations, a lot of prophecies concerning other nations outside of Israel. So it's very important to understand that. And once you take the principles, you can look at the principles and you can apply these things. Now, see, make no mistake, the fact that the Lord is exalted, that he has judgment and righteousness, is filling Zion, you're never going to get away from the fact that God prefers Zion or Jerusalem. You're never going to get away from the fact that he will prefer Jerusalem. Now, matter of fact, when you get in the end of days, he specifically says that he is going to gather them at Jerusalem, that is the nations, and he will judge them there. So make no mistake, this is exactly how the Lord works. Assyria came down there to the gates of Zion, believing they were going to win. There was nobody to stop them. There was no armies to meet them. So they were going to march down there and pillage Jerusalem and take people captive, do whatever they wanted to. Well, guess what? They got defeated right at the gates. And see, this is exactly another scenario that's going to happen when we look in the future, when God is going to bring the nations of men at the gates of Jerusalem again. And there is a big fight entail, but in the end, the Lord comes and delivers them. So in verse 6, and wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy time. So through this righteousness that's been established, you know, Hezekiah in his 14th year, he's going to continue to rule. And because of the victory of Jehovah over Assyria and the deliverance of Judah. That's in verse 5. And, you know, there's some that see this as regarding Hezekiah's reign. But the bottom line of it is, it happened during Hezekiah's reign. Hezekiah is the one that sought the Lord and listened to Isaiah on this. So the stability of thy times, of course, that comes from the wisdom and the knowledge of the Lord and his blessing that he puts into the councilship of everything. And, you know, the other thing they put in there, it says strength of salvation. When do you have the strength of salvation? Well, for Israel at that time, it's knowing that God had delivered them from Assyria. Now, unfortunately, that thought, the strength of salvation, got perverted because they ended up getting, you know, carried captive by Babylon because of their sins. They thought that the strength of their salvation would allow them to do anything they wanted to do. Now, this is a hint to the Christians today. You think that you're saved in Christ and that you can turn around and you can sin willingly any and all ways you want to. So Paul said, you know, shall I sin that grace may abound? God forbid, he said. So make no mistake, the strength of salvation here is because they knew that Jehovah had delivered them. But this strength of salvation didn't do them any good during the time when Babylon came, because they were not serving the Lord. They were doing abomination. And here's a hint, America. Just because you can cheat on an election, just because you can put Biden in, just because you can sit up there and sign a bunch of executive orders, doing it without the vote of the people of the United States, thinking you can change the entire country into a socialist nation, and you can do abortions on demand, do anything you want to do, that you're going to be all right. You're not going to be all right. Because God judges a nation by its righteousness. And one day the sin and iniquity of America will come to the full, like every nation on earth, and then the judgment will happen and you will be weeping and wailing. Make no mistake about it, if you disregard the lessons of Isaiah, you've missed the study. And here it says, the last thing it says, the fear of the Lord is his treasure. By the fear of the Lord, people draw nigh to God. But by the fear of the Lord, they wake up. Now, people do have fear of the Lord. Some of it is a misplaced fear. Because as Christians, we fear and respect him and know who he is. But he's our Father. And because we are redeemed through Yahshua, Jesus Christ, we have no fear of the second death. We are walking in his ways. We have no need to fear the Lord. But the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's not all the wisdom, because the rest of the wisdom is found in the Lord. That's why the fear of the Lord is just the beginning of wisdom. He gives you the beginning of wisdom to think, well, maybe I'd better repent. Maybe I'd better watch the things I do. Maybe a nation better consider the laws that it tries to pass, not thinking that they're gods up in D.C. and they can do anything they want to. This is exactly what happened to Israel when they turned around and got delivered over to Babylon. They didn't think that these things, even the prophets there didn't think, and didn't the priests, the high priest didn't think that either. A lot of the people were carried away with this stuff of what they were doing in Judah at the time, and God sent them away in captivity. He destroyed everything. There was no prophets there. There was no no temple, folks. There was nothing. Make no mistake. You make the Lord mad. You go on your own. You think it's okay to do these things. You're not going to have a capital. You're not going to have a DC. You're not going to have a nation united. You're not going to have nothing here. Make no mistake. This country has forgotten the fear of the Lord. But you see, if you know the Lord, if you know him, you turn back. Now, this is by the old covenant, and Hezekiah is a good king. He's trying to bring the nation back. And verse 5 and 6 tells you these things. Because as long as they would stick with the Lord God and would do those things that pleases the Lord, Jerusalem would be filled with reverence for the Lord. And they would have wisdom and knowledge. And your life will be stable. It'll be a stable life, full of peace, prosperity. Now, America, you're not going to have peace and prosperity. Because you've got lawless things going on in this country. And you can have Christians over here on the right and the left, and they can be fasting and praying and trying to intercede, but I got news for you. That ain't going to save America. Not at all. And I suggest if you want to continue living in America, you'd better get in gear and really seek the Lord and seek Him and deliver yourself and your family first. Now, when we talk about the fear of the Lord, and I do have this in here, but I wanted to kind of tell you about it. The fear of the Lord, the phrase, is found 30 times in 30 verses. Now, 29 of those 30 times, well, let's put it this way, one time out of 30, just once, is the fear of the Lord mentioned in the New Testament. Can you believe that? Acts 9:31. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Ghost, and they were multiplied. Just one time. Now, it's found 3 times in Psalms, 14 times in Proverbs, 4 times in Chronicles. No, wait a minute. That's another one. That's another phrase that I was doing. But at any rate, 30 times, and one time is in Acts. So you have Isaiah 2:19, and they shall go in the holes of the rocks and the caves of the earth for fear of the Lord and for the glory of His majesty when He rises to shake terribly the earth. Now you'll find the holes of the rocks and the caves of the earth, and a lot of this, actually, you can refer this to the very end of days, this during Revelation. Isaiah 2:21, they said it again. They use this phrase twice in 2 verses. This means you'd better pay attention because judgment's coming. And you're going to want to go hide. To go into the clefts of the rock and to the tops of the ragged rocks for the fear of the Lord and for the glory of His majesty when He rises to shake terribly the earth. I got news for you. You think you're big stuff? When He begins to shake this whole earth, you're going to be frightened out of your wits. Now, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Now, actually, you can apply this to the Messiah. Verse 3, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. Now see, and then you see that again in verse 33:6, which I just covered. And wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times, and the strength of salvation, and the fear of the Lord is his treasure. And that's speaking during the time of Hezekiah, after God had delivered them. Now, let's get into the fear of the Lord. This is what I was talking about before. The fear of the Lord. Fear of the Lord, rather. See, there's difference. And it's the way the translators put it. Fear of the Lord, and then there's fear the Lord. Now, fear the Lord, and it's kind of funny when you look at this, because the overriding thought here is fear. And who do you fear is the Lord. So fear the Lord, in that context, it's used in Psalms 3 times, in Proverbs 14 times, 2 Chronicles 4 times. Overall, it's found 30 times in 30 verses. So overall, between fear the Lord and fear of the Lord, it's 60 times. Now, it's interesting to note that fear the Lord is not found in the New Testament. I mean, I find that hard to believe. But see, when you are in the Old Testament, you're under the Old Covenant, which demands a fear of the Lord. It's a different kind of a relationship. Because of the Messiah coming and the cross and our covenant, the blood of the covenant, we don't have to have that fear of the Lord overriding us, scaring us to death so much that we become obedient. But see, the fact of it is, we've gotten so complacent that we need fear of the Lord here. Now, in Psalm 111:10, now this is a scripture that we use in the New Testament all the time. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, a good understanding have all they that do his commandments, his praise endures forever. Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That is a common New Testament thing we talk about. Yet it's not found. The fear of the Lord is not found anywhere in the New Testament. However, there is one thing that is used. Fear. Well, what's the difference between the fear of the Lord? Well, in the fear of the Lord, that phrase, it delineates absolutely. Now, the action is fear, and the noun and the target is Lord. So you have Lord and you have fear. You know, fear of the Lord. You know who you're fearing. You're not fearing Johnny down the street. You're not fearing the gods in other lands. You're fearing the Lord. Now, see, we're not going to truly fear the Lord unless we get in some of these violent judgments that we see in the end of days. See, not until you meet death in a real way do you begin to think about fear of the Lord. Am I ready? Look how you've lived. See, as Americans, and I speak about Americans, I'm not Canadian, I'm not South American, I'm not European, I'm not Asian, I can't speak to that. But generally we can say about this. Now, the fear of the Lord, if we look at Revelation, go through Revelation and get your Bible software out and find all the things in there that have the word fear. For instance, in Revelation 14:7, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give him glory, give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him that made heaven and earth, the sea and the fountains of the waters. It's fear God. Now see, in the New Testament, we know that this is the Lord God along with his son, Yahshua, who calls himself the Almighty in Revelation 1. And by the time you get to Revelation 22, he says, I come quickly and my reward is with me. That's in the beginning of the book and the others at the end of the book. And when you look in between, you have that there is a revelation of the coming of the Son of God, Yahshua, and they're going to fear. Why? Because they're not prepared. Here's one on Babylon, Revelation 18:10, standing afar off for the fear of her torment. It is so terrible, they're standing afar off. You would too. Alas, alas, that great city Babylon, the mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. Now, we call this city Mystery Babylon because Mystery Babylon is a mystery. Revelation 18:15, the merchants of these things which were made rich by her, again speaking of Mystery Babylon, shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing. Now in 19:5 it says, and the voice came out of the throne saying, praise our God, all you servants, you that fear him, both small and great. See the word fear, very conducive in there. Isaiah, he wasn't there to preach sugar plum, you know, and nice nothings. He was there to give the direct word of God as the Lord God gave to him. He wasn't there to be political. He wasn't there to convince you or for you to convince him that, well, this is what we do today. This kind of sin is okay. We have legalized it, so God, when you come, you can't find nothing wrong with that because we have made the law saying it's okay. That ain't going to work. I could sit here, and I suppose you could too if you thought about it. What kind of sins, in America especially, are we saying that are fine and dandy? And the people that do those things will not inherit the kingdom of God. When the son of perdition comes, the destroyer, the dark one, Satan, Lucifer, the dragon, I call him Slewfoot. He's going to tell you things are okay. He's going to lead the world in rebellion against the Lord, and he will have been given the power, and you can see that in 2 Thessalonians 2. You can also see it in Revelation. And it's a delusion, see. So that's fear, and fear of the Lord. Now, verse 7, it says, behold, their valiant ones shall cry without. The ambassadors of peace shall weep bitterly. Now, it's kind of funny how we see this because, you know, the problem with the Assyrian invasion, see, there was that promise. And Hezekiah had contacted him, saying, how much, you know, are you going to need? Sennacherib said, so much. Hezekiah sent it to him. But see, that wasn't enough, because he was going to take the money in Jerusalem. He wanted it all. Now, you see, there was some of those that wanted peace. But you see, there would be no peace. Because God was not going to make peace with Sennacherib. First of all, when Rabshakeh got at the front of the gates of Jerusalem, they came against the Lord God of Israel. They demeaned him. They took his name in vain. They mocked him. Now see, the children of Israel would have been okay with that. Some of them. Well, go ahead, mock our God, just leave us alone. I mean, how many times and over the years I've seen Muslims riot on the street when they found their prophet, Muhammad, demeaned in any way. Yet Christians will sit in their nice fancy churches and allow people in America and around the world to curse your Lord. Do we go riot in the streets? No. We might put something on social media. Nobody stands up. Did we go riot on the street when the Democrats did what they did with abortion? No. Is anybody rioting on the street now that the borders are overrun and you have all those children in camps? I don't know what the people thought they were going to get into. But the Democrats are responsible for that mess. You don't just open up your borders, tell everybody to come up. And when you have a lot of them that have COVID, when you have the others have other diseases like tuberculosis, they come on up. You have a lot of people that are gang members and everything else that they're catching. That isn't going to help America, and it isn't going to help the people coming with them. You have a lot of innocent people there now that are all locked up, and nobody can do anything. Where are they going to go? Who's going to take them? So you can't legislate this kind of stuff. This is wickedness. Now see, the Democrats think they can. That's how revolutions are started. Now you see, there is... the Lord God. The many-breasted one, the Lord of Sabaoth. He sees all this injustice, and he will deal with it. But whenever you saw judgment coming at Israel, it's because of sin entering in. Whenever they were living in peace and God gave them victory, they were living in right standing with him. For Christians that walk in the covenant the way they should and keep his word and do those things that are pleasing in him, like 1 John 1 says, to walk in the light as he is in the light, then you can live blessed. But even God says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Why? Because they're not where they need to be. And so they did try to get peace. They did try to stop this. But Sennacherib just didn't move because, you know, he was greedy. He went because the Lord God sent him. The Antichrist, the son of perdition, the beast, is going to come because God allows him to come. There is going to be all kinds of signs and wonders and upheavals in the earth. So many issues and troubles that the Lord himself said that unless the days are shortened, there will be no flesh left alive. Why? Because as Isaiah says, the sin, in other words, the curse has devoured the earth. Make no mistake, you think that you can just do what you want, don't you? That's why many people can't stand the prophets. The prophets were sent to give you a word that God said. And God is not pleased with the sins of men. He knows, that when they sin, say, we think you're a sinner when you sin. But you see, the fact of it is, they sin because they are a sinner. And the only way to become an unsinner, that's through Christ. But even in the church, just as we found with Judah and the northern tribes, men have a tendency to fall away, and that's the women too. Sorry about that, but that's the way it is. This is about falling, you know, the path that the Lord wants. Whether you're in the covenant of Christ today, as you should be, or you were back in the time of Judah, it was all about making God happy. He is the one in charge. It was tough back there. You did one thing wrong, that was it. People died. Priests died if they did things wrong. You couldn't get in the presence of that God without getting killed. Now, because of Yahshua, we can come boldly under the throne of grace and find help in time of need in that grace to deliver us. But what do people do? They mock him. They mock his son's name. They condemn him. We have people like Nadler in Congress who practically damned the Lord in the words that he said on the congressional floor. We don't need people to represent. He doesn't represent me. I think that's where you need the word of the Lord. We need some righteousness up there. Dear God in heaven, we got enough liars and cheats up there in Congress. But you see, they don't represent the will of the Lord. God's temple is not the Capitol. God's temple is not even your church out there. The temple of the Lord is you, the believer, through Christ. In the Old Testament, Israel was the vine. In the New Testament, Israel is still Israel to some, but they still need to repent. But Yahshua, Jesus, is the vine, and we are the branches. His Spirit is in us, and within us is the temple of God, and we are found in Christ. In verse 8 it says, the highways lie waste, the wayfaring man seeketh, he has broken the covenant, he hath despised the cities, he regardeth no man. Now this is a look at when the invasion occurred. Everything was laid waste. No one's just going to go from village to village. And this is one thing where you see in Isaiah and the prophets a common phrase, fear, pit, and the snare. See, the first time you find fear in these days is when the army first came. First of all, you could usually see the signs because the birds would be moving. There'd be cloud or dust. There would be all kinds of noise in the distance. And before them, of course, the next thing would come would be people fleeing. You could see them physically fleeing for safety. You don't just go from village to village. You run for your lives. And so the Assyrians, led by Sennacherib, they invade Jerusalem, Sharon, Bashan, and Carmel. And so when you have this kind of upheaval, the prophet now describes what it's like when you have this kind of upheaval. The earth mourneth and languisheth. Lebanon is ashamed and hewn down. Sharon is like a wilderness, and Bashan and Carmel shake off their fruits. This is because they go through there and tear everything apart. But see, the thing it is, the earth mourneth and languisheth. That's another phrase that is common when we talk about judgment in Scripture. Now you see, for Lebanon, a lot of scholars, when they're looking at this phrase, they don't see any evidence that Sennacherib actually invaded there. That doesn't mean he didn't. But see, in Isaiah 37:24, which we haven't got to, he boasted that he came to the sides of Lebanon and cut down the tall cedars. Now, see, if you'll remember about cedars and a lot of stuff, you'll remember going back to Solomon, he had to cut all kinds of things and do all kinds of things in order to find stuff to build the temple. And so there was a lot of things around a lot of these places. Now, the fertile places was south of Mount Carmel, along the coast of the Mediterranean, which is, if you get the coast of that Mediterranean, you know, that whole thing is beautiful in there. We've actually talked a lot about a lot of that in there, in the Levant, on the side over there by the Mediterranean. The Oaks of Bashan and Carmel, well, you know, I mean, if you're going to have an army going through there, you know, there's going to be vibration, there's going to be the taking of your fruit, there's going to be harvesting, and they might even burn the orchard. Now the Septuagint reads there, Galilee and Carmel are made bare. Like the wintertime when the trees don't have any leaves, So these trees were desolate, so there was nothing left. And what this does is, and it works every time you read this, when you see the earth mourneth and languisheth, let alone Lebanon is ashamed and hewn down, you don't see a nice place. But when you come upon a valley or a mountain, and we've got some here that are beautiful, you go up there, it's inspiring. Crystal clear lakes, everything's green. It's beautiful, except in the winter. It's still beautiful with the snow, and people go do a lot of activities up there. But when you go up there after judgment, the forests are going to be burnt. There's nothing going to be left. The waters will be dark and putrid from all the bodies and the dead stuff in there. You see, that's judgment. Remember the phrase, Purple Mountain's Majesty? I mean, you think of some of the songs that we sing to celebrate America. You're not going to have that. You're not going to have the luxury of being divided anymore, because there won't be any of you left to be divided. And that's why Scripture says, a nation divided will not stand. And as long as America continues to play its games of political, as long as they try to one-up each other, as long as no one wants to just use the Constitution and keep it there and use some common sense and come together, you're going to destroy the nation, and it's not going to stand. But you see, I'm just one little old preacher out here in the middle of nowhere. I've only been warning about this and Tower along with me for over two decades. But you know, our warnings go back to the mid-70s. When I first talked about the fact that America as you know it would cease to exist. Now as I see the things going on, I can plainly see, well, this is how it's going to disappear. Because we don't want to get together anymore. And so when I'm reading Isaiah talking to the children of Israel, I'm thinking, Israel, Israel, Israel. You know, she's had a lot of troubles. She still has troubles. They're going to have another election in Israel. Did you know that? It'll be the fourth election. They still can't form a decent government. I don't even know how they get it all together, but they got another guy now running. Because they're so divided over there. There's only one power on the face of the earth that can unite us. One power. And that one power is the Lord. And until we get to the point to where we will really care for one another, repent of our wickedness, but see, we're not going to do it because we love our sins. Now, some of this I know is pretty heavy. And there's not much you can do tomorrow to change what's happening. But you can change yourself and your family. Live for the Lord every day. Do what you can in your own little world to serve the Lord and help others and do what you can. And don't spend all your time on social media. Don't spend all your time worrying. And for God's sake, as there's a God in heaven and a Son of God who's coming, don't fill your soul with all that news that we have. Now see, I write articles and stuff all the time. I get into the stuff all the time. You don't have to. And I don't even do what I used to do anymore. 90% what I look through is garbage. And when I write, I do not write anything political anymore. The only thing I write is the Word of God. Now, I'll refer some of it maybe sometimes, just like here, because I'm comparing Israel, and I'm seeing the same thing happening to this country where I was born. Where my dad, fresh out of high school, had to go fight a war in the Pacific. who was a Navy medic, or my grandfather, who worked for the government, stationed on Catalina. He was a park ranger, but he was a sea dude. He had to go up and down the coast 500 miles patrolling. And when Pearl Harbor fell, they thought that was the end of America. Make no mistake, you have no clue. And we have people on your streets daily that are rioting and burning. And it's not as bad as it used to, but they're still there. The Democrats never once chastened any of them. Biden spends all his time letting criminals out of jail. All this stuff is typical Marxism. Make no mistake. You're going to need the Lord, and you need to focus on the Lord. Father, we thank you for your word. Dear God in heaven, I pray that America will look to their families, bring them to you, Father, and seek your face for deliverance. We look to you, Lord, and we look, Father, for you to save Israel. Lord God, we ask for your mercy in the midst of judgment. May the people who hear this understand the words that Isaiah is speaking here and relate it to more than just, well, that was Israel. No, that wasn't just Israel, Father, that was all of us. For these things were written for us to learn from, to know our God and our Father. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, and in Jesus' name I bind you, Satan, and the powers of darkness from the preaching, teaching, and streaming of this word. Amen. Okay, Tower.
Has it been an hour already?
Yeah.
Wow. That went by fast. That's good. You know, it's kind of, it's sad to hear how things, bad things got. And to think that we live in that same kind of situation today. It's disturbing.
Yeah, it's
to
supposed
to say the least.
It's supposed to be disturbing. If you don't find it disturbing, then you're disturbed. I mean, in this country, if you're happy with it and you're not disturbed, it's what's happening, then you are really disturbed.
Yeah.
Any normal, God-fearing person on earth would find these things disturbing. And there's disturbing things going on everywhere in this planet. Tower and I cover the advocacy for the persecuted church. So if you think you have issues, listen to that. We have some great, great stories on there and great miracles. We're going to have to get out of here, Tower.
Okay. Good night, everybody. Thank you for joining us. Whenever you do, stay safe. Look out for your brethren and your families. Pray for each other. We want you to know we love you and we care about you. May God richly bless you and keep you. Good night, everybody.
Don't forget to go by the websites, warn-usa, danaglynnsmith.com. God bless. Good night.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Warn Radio. Thank you for listening to this episode of The Warn Radio.